Everyone, I'm Gary Noll. Today, we're going to see how the keto diet can lead to flu-like symptoms during the first few weeks of the diet. University of Tasmania, which is in Australia, published in the peer-reviewed journal Frontiers Nutrition. What if the millions of people on the keto diet began to display flu-like symptoms and thought it was the coronavirus? And then flooded into hospitals that are already overburdened, emergency rooms, thinking, oh my goodness, I have this. We should know about these things, but we don't. You will today, a lot on the coronavirus and other topics of health and nutrition as well. We're also going to have a guest in the second part of our program, Branko, that's B-R-N-K-O, Marcetic, M-A-R-C-E-T-I-C, Marcetic, and he's in Toronto, and we're going to talk about why I believe that Joe Biden is the perfect candidate. I mean, he is perfection, 100%, for the right-wing corporate oligarchs, for the Democratic Party, the Fascist Party, well, they're both fascists, but the ones that pretend not to be, for Wall Street and the industrial complexes and military and pharmaceutical and energy and food, Monsanto, they love him. They couldn't find a finer candidate. So what is Branko going to tell us? We'll find out. He's a journalist at the Jacobin magazine, highly respected magazine, by the way, and he is also with the Leonard Goodman Institute for Investigative Reporting and a fellow at the In These Times. And he was also an earlier writer for American Prospect. He's originally from Auckland, New Zealand. And so that'll be an interesting discussion. Something that I can assure you, Wolf Blitzer and others in the mainstream media who defend the corporate Democratic Party are not going to talk about. We will. Also today, we're going to show some and hear some video clips. And then from there, we'll be able to open the lines up for you to call in and give us your feedback on the issues that we'll be exploring with you in these clips. And they're going to be on a variety of topics. We have a lot of topics. For example, the hearing on 4G and 5G by just citizens of San Francisco. I think you'll find this of interest. And then one thing in particular, and that is meeting the global corruption's hidden players. They're everywhere. They're in every area of government, every area in business, every area of the media. They're everywhere. And we may be unaware of how we're being used and abused. This woman gives a very compelling talk in her speech before a TED group. Her name is Charmian, S-H-A-R-M-I-A-N, Gooch, G-O-O-C-H. So that's our show. We like to bring a lot of variety. Always issues that empower people. Every single time. And we start with, according to the University of Tasmania, a ketogenic keto, K-E-T-O, genic, G-E-N-I-C, ketogenic diet can lead to several flu-like symptoms within the first few weeks on the diet. These symptoms peak in the first 7 days and dwindle after 4 weeks. They can be very severe in some people. And if you didn't know that, you know, flu-like fatigue, nausea, dizziness, decreased energy, feeling faint, and heartbeat alterations all come from this. So before you ask yourself, am I experiencing flu or cold? Do you have chills? Do you have an increase in your temperature? Do you have non-productive dry cough? Do you also have gross fatigue, fever? These are the things that you have to look for that can distinguish it. All right? Just sharing that information with you. And I'm opposed to the ketogenic diet because of what it does to the body. And we'll deal with that on a different program. From the University of Chicago comes a study about ginseng and the polysaccharides that are in the ginseng, and they can help manage enteric inflammation and suppressing colorectal cancer. So according to the University of Chicago, ginseng is, as we know, is a commonly used herbal medicine in treating various medical conditions. It is called adaptogenic, meaning it can adapt the polysaccharides to help from fatigue to pain, lack of energy. It does all these things. And but they found that the polysaccharides in the ginseng are really good at helping regulate the immune system. And therefore, if you're a person suffering from defective immunity, which many people are at this time, and you have inflammation in the body, it can help that. So that's good. From Dezful University of Medical Science in Iran, cancer treatment complications can be prevented with topical sesame oil. Yeah. Chemotherapy-induced phlebitis is an inflammatory response to chemotherapy drugs that can cause vein damage and pain, and erythema, which is skin redness, fever and swelling at the site of the injection. It's one of the most common complications suffered by patients undergoing chemotherapy. And it can last for weeks or months and is usually treated with nonsteroidal anti-inflammatories. However, these drugs also cause unwanted side effects. So they started to look at some of the complementary methods and found out that sesame oil is a versatile natural product that's used for medicinal and cosmetic and culinary purposes. Numerous studies have lauded its excellent antioxidant properties. That means it's a good inhibitor of oxidative stress and consequently inflammatory disease. And in this case, they used it topically, and it made a measurable difference by substantially reducing pain severity. So that's good. So it can also be used for people suffering from phlebitis. And this was published in the Journal of Complementary Therapies in Clinical Practice. Sesame oil for pain relief. From the University of Bologna in Italy comes a study about the Mediterranean diet and how it alters in a good way your gut microbiome. Micro, M-I-C-R-O, biome, B-O-M-E, two syllables there. And that means all the hundreds of billions of good bacteria in your intestine. The older you get, the more important to have probiotics and prebiotics every day in your diet, because that reduces frailty and improves overall health status. So that's all good. So if you're over the age of 50, make sure that you're on a healthy plant-based diet, including the Mediterranean diet. And this was work from the Science Foundation of Ireland that wanted to see what are the impacts of the Mediterranean diet. And they took a year and studied it, and boy, it's good for your gut. Reduces C-reactive protein, reduces interleukin-17, which are pro-inflammatory, helps with reducing the oxidative stress in the body. Quite simply, the Mediterranean diet is one of the healthiest diets on the planet. And also, the University of Alberta, which is in Canada, found that there's some really good outcomes using resveratrol. Res, R-E-S, Vera, V-E-R-A, Trol, T-R-O-L, resveratrol. It's a powerful antioxidant produced by a lot of different plants. Grapes are not the only things, but best known for being used in grapes. And the professor of pediatrics at the University of Alberta, who spent years studying the natural compounds in resveratrol, says that it increases exercise performance, it reduces blood pressure, it creates a healthier heart, and that also is good for treating diabetes. And this was published in the journal Diabetes. Can help lower your blood sugar levels. And when resveratrol is circulating in your blood, then that's good if you're pre-diabetic or diabetic. And it also helps with a healthier microbiome in the intestines. So, all good. Also, from McGill University, which is in Quebec, imaginary pain, or what we call phantom pain, could be caused by serotonin deficiency. What do I mean? Somatic awareness refers to a type of mindfulness that focuses on what happens to our body. More often than not, heightened somatic awareness is often accompanied by medically unexplained symptoms like headaches, nausea, constipation, itchy skin, fatigue, sore muscles and joints, and yet we've done nothing physically to cause that. This condition is also associated with illnesses like fibromyalgia, rheumatoid arthritis, and temporomandibular disorders. However, according to McGill University, the cause of heightened somatic awareness is unclear, which is why it's often chalked up as psychological or imaginary problems. Now, recent research suggests that the condition isn't so imaginary after all. A study published in the Journal of Annals of Neurology, a major respected journal, found that a deficiency of serotonin can be the reason why people experience heightened somatic awareness. The researchers likened their findings to the tale of the princess and the pea. Think of the fairy tale of the princess and the pea, S-P-E-A. And according to the lead author, Samar Khoury, the princess in the story had extremely sensitive emotions where she could feel a small pea through a pile of 20 mattresses. This is a good analogy of how someone with heightened somatic awareness might feel. They have discomforts caused by a tiny pea that doctors can't see or even know exists, but it's very real. So it's not all in the mind. Researchers from McGill University analyzed data available through their study and found that there were imbalances that cause this. So think of all the people who have chemical sensitivities. And you're thinking, what could you possibly be feeling? Nothing's wrong. And yet they're feeling something. Because these are the canary in the coal mine. And that's why they in particular should be on a detoxification diet. Cleanse the body and help reestablish a new homeostasis. And finally, extra virgin olive oil, the polyphenols in it, can help modulate a cellular pathway related to oxidant species and inflammation and aging. And this is from the University of Cagliari in Italy. So according to the university, when you're consuming olive oil, and of course there they consume a darker olive oil, greener, almost green-brown, and depends upon the area the olives are grown, whether it's a first virgin press, but I've been there and watched them actually press the oil. And I was given a little sample to take, and I drank it down. I go, whoa, this takes like, you know, changing your oil in your car. This is really strong. You have to develop a taste for it, but it's extremely good for you. And extra virgin olive oil itself has been proposed to promote a successful aging, being able to virtually modulate all the features of the aging process because of its great monounsaturated fatty acid content and its minor bioactive compounds, the polyphenols. And those polyphenols are mostly antioxidant, anti-inflammatory compounds, meaning they will modulate abnormal cellular signaling induced by pro or bad inflammatory stimuli and oxidative stress, like smoking, drinking, stress, being in a toxic environment. Now, it doesn't matter whether it's NRF2 or NFE2. These are all pro-inflammatory markers. When you hear about kappa light chain enhancer of activated B cells, which have been identified as important modulators of age-related disorders and aging itself. So let me take it from the scientific, like when we're talking about studies that show the ability of EVOO and phenolics, mainly the tryptosol and tripsol, to activate the signaling. Let's just take away that for a moment, which people generally, unless you're a scientist or biochemist, wouldn't understand, and say, when I have a teaspoon of olive oil on my salad or in my, on my baked potato, I'm actually turning off the pro-inflammatory process. I'm turning down the flame on that stove. In the process of doing that, I'm turning down the destruction that that inflammation will cause to my cells. Now, since the average cell is assaulted about 10,000 times per day per cell, that's how we end up prematurely aging the cells in our body. And oxidative stress, and mind you, don't try to say, well, how many different tumor necrosis factors are there, and how many interleukins are there, and how many, that's irrelevant. What's relevant is anything at all that can turn on inflammation in the cell is bad. Anything that can turn off inflammation is good. So a glass of green apple and lemon juice turns off inflammation. A cola turns it on. Alcohol turns it on. Coffee turns it on. And a carrot juice turns it off. Eating a bagel turns it on. Eating an apple turns it off. Eating a pizza, a hot dog, a hamburger turns it on, inflammation. And having a nice plant-based diet turns it off. So if you understand, it's that simple. Let's keep things Occam's razor. Let's keep it simple. Use the razor, cut through all the nonsense. The defense mechanisms go right to what the answer is. Simplicity. University of Wisconsin, a study about mold damage to your lungs, protective barrier, and how that can increase asthma attacks. Again, I'll make it simple, because this article published by a professor of pediatrics of medicine and medical microbiology and immunology at the university, published an article in Cell, Host, and Microbe. It's rather complicated, but we're not going to talk about Aspergillus, which is ubiquitous, it's everywhere, and we're inhaling spores with every breath we take. We need to look at, okay, what do I have to know about mold? What does mold do when I've inhaled it? Mold can cause problems of all types, from your lungs to your eyes to your brain. What can I do? Let's go to the solution, positive information. We can first get rid of all those shag carpets. We can get rid of the particle boards, the desks and cheap furniture is made from, where all the glues are used. We can get underneath the sinks. I believe that a kitchen should ideally only have glass shelves. Make them nice. Cobalt blue or beautiful colors from the 1940s and 50s, pastels, pinks, blues, no doors, only two shelves above a sink, because the average person can't reach higher than that, and the ones below it get stuff stuffed in there, and then you forget to go in there and clean it out. That's the reality, right? And that's where the molds grow. That's where your cockroaches live. So if you don't have any of that undercover, you just have a counter, make your counter stainless steel with a backdrop, splash backdrop of stainless steel. Easy to clean, sanitary. And your shelves, you can see what you have, then you're not cluttering them. And that way, you get rid of the shelves and you sterilize the walls. You put on a mask that has a 99 rating, meaning 99% of anything that's a contaminant cannot get through, and put on goggles, and you go in there, and you dilute. Now, you can use a bleach, which is a killer, but you can also use hydrogen peroxide alcohol, apple cider vinegar, diluted in water, and I found do the same thing. And then you wash down the walls. You spray down the walls. You let it sit for about half hour. And the longer it sits, the more it goes into mold and spores and kills them. Then you wipe it all down. Now you've gotten rid of that mold. Do the same thing under your sink in the bathroom, in your shower, where there are tile floors. So clean the mold out that way, and that's something you're not going to have to face. And according to this journal published in Cell, Hosts, and Microbes, that can be a big problem. No need to. Oh, and by the way, Penn State University didn't have to tell us this, but they did. Sunshine is linked to fewer heart events. This is a meta-analysis, meaning higher blood levels of vitamin D are associated with significant fewer cardiovascular events and gives you a lower risk of death from cardiovascular disease. 180,000 participants were studied, and they found that there was a substantial reduction in death when you're out in the sun. This is published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. That's good news. Just get out in the sun. Let the body get some sun rays. That's terrific for you. Creating vitamin D3. Vitamin D refers to two biological inactive precursors. Vitamin D3, also known as and vitamin D2, ergocalciferol, and then these are transformed in the liver and kidneys into 25-OHD, the non-active storage form, and then 1,2-hydroxyvitamin D, and that's what the body uses. Just simple lay language, get some sunlight and watch the vitamin D increase in your body, and that's good. That can save lives. That's the latest on health and healing. I'm Gary Anall. We're going to take a break and come right back. And when we come back, we're going to go back to a clip. And I want to go in this particular clip, so I'm going to ask Jesse in our New York office. Jesse, let's play the clip of people testifying in San Francisco about the dangers of 4G, 3G, 2G, and especially 5G, since that's what's being promoted every single day, everywhere, as if it's a good thing, and people really need to be hip and on top of it, so they're connected with everything. So everything in your life, you step out of the shower and suddenly, you can play music anywhere in the house, and you step into your kitchen and you can tell your refrigerator, a message, and then it goes into a storage. Mind you, everything you're doing is being recorded, video and audio. Everything that you're doing is going to central data systems. You have no control over it. You've signed away your rights, and you have no idea what they're going to end up doing, including selling all this. So one more reason why we should oppose it. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
evening. At the controls is the board's legal process clerk, Alec Longway, and I'm Julie Rosenberg, the board's executive director. I'd like to speak on a matter within the board's jurisdiction, but that is not on tonight's calendar. Is there any member of the public who wishes to speak on an item that's not on the calendar? Okay. Please approach and identify yourself. Thank you.
Come on up. The podium's over there, sir.
Oh, sir. Yeah, you could hand this to Mr. Longway. Thank you.
Good evening and welcome.
Thank you. I'm Gary Widman, and speaking to you tonight as a friend of Ms. Cheryl Hogan, not as her retained attorney. For those of you who don't know me, just to acquaint you with my background, I was general counsel for the Council on Environment Quality in the White House under Presidents Nixon and Ford, associate solicitor of the Department of the Interior under President Carter, and at another time, director of the Office of Staff Attorneys at the U.S. Court of Appeals, Ninth Circuit. And I've taught environment law at all of the UC law schools of Northern California. Last fall, you rejected Ms. Hogan's appeal when she asked disapproval of a small wireless facility to be installed that was installed 12 feet from her window. She provided you a binder of peer-reviewed scientific evidence that was compiled by San Francisco Public Health Director Aragon's other boss, Dr. Moskowitz, in UC Berkeley. I understand that you referred that binder to Dr. Aragon for comment, but for whatever reason now, 8 months later, I also understand that neither the board nor the public has received any comment or evaluation of those studies. Back to Ms. Hogan, shortly after installation of the facility on or about November 20, she became ill and was diagnosed with a fast-growing brain tumor, a glioblastoma, same type of tumor that killed Ted Kennedy, John McCain, and Joe Biden's son, Beau. Ms. Hogan underwent surgery this last Monday, March 2, and as I wrote this document on March 3, she was still in the intensive care unit at the CPMC Van Ness Hospital. All her friends have our fingers crossed. So my first request is that for the love of God, help provide some humanitarian help here. Please turn off the power to the facility that is right outside of her window so that she can go home and recover from this devastating experience at home. And second, we would ask that you remove this facility entirely, since it is almost certain to promote the growth of her brain cancer so long as she resides there. So we know that one cannot, with 100% certainty, say that the cancer was caused by this particular installation. On the other hand,
30 seconds, sir.
That's 3 minutes.
30 no. seconds more, sir.
The probability is that it was caused by that particular installation, and investigation, I think, would verify that. There was a chance, you had a chance to make a decision at the time you were told that the World Health Organization classified this as a possible carcinogen. And at this point,
thank you, sir. Your time
we
is
ask
up.
For humanitarian help for this woman and
thank you, sir.
Your time
make
is
her
up.
Home safe for her
thank you.
Return. Thank you.
And if you could give a speaker card to Mr. Longway, please. Oh, you have one? Thank you. Okay, next speaker, please.
May I make a comment, please?
Pardon?
May I make a comment?
Oh, please do.
So first and foremost, obviously this board sends their best wishes to Ms. Hogan for her recovery. You know this, if you've participated in our board activities, you know that you have very sympathetic ears on this subject because of the request that we have made to the Department of Health, which, as you note, has gone unfulfilled and has not gone unnoticed by this board. Once again, I will request to the executive director that they contact the Board of Health. Formally, I would like you to inform them that one of our appellants has suffered an illness which may or may not be related to the installation of a piece of equipment. But most importantly, once again, that we request formally that they show some a great sense of urgency in following up what has documentation, at least from some, as a very urgent health issue. Thanks very much. Thank you for your testimony today, and we're very sorry.
Yep, I will follow up with my same, since there's going to be more public speakers. Unfortunately, the board, we are not hearing the mobile antenna cases in the bulk that we were prior. A lot of our, some of our power has been stripped in regards to the mobile, cellular mobile towers, isn't that correct?
Yes, the permit's no longer required on many poles in the city.
So because the permits, there's no required permit, there's nothing to appeal that comes before this body. Secondly, this body has repeatedly denied permits and repeatedly we lost in court because we are liable for our decisions as well. But thank you very much for your public comment.
Well, I hope you can nevertheless authorize the thing to be depowered. And I
thank you.
Thank Mr. Swig for his statement.
Thank you.
Welcome, next speaker.
Talk to you a little bit about the science, because I have more sympathy than some for the fact that Tomas Aragon has taken a long time to get this done because he's been so tied up with the COVID-19 issue set. And there's an overlap here I think it's worth looking at. Since we're aware here, I think all of us from Cheryl's work, for one, that the United States government's National Institutes of Health, particularly the National Toxicology Program, has affirmatively determined that there's a direct causal relationship between this radiation type and the formation of glioma cells, the root cells of glioblastoma, the very phenomena that Cheryl's now dealing with. And because we also know, and there's plenty of study information on this, that there's an immunological impairment that results from this exposure. It's suggested by me, and I hope you'll take a look at this, that, and I hope Tomas Aragon will take a look at this, that in light of the fact that the city and county of San Francisco has declared a health emergency over the COVID-19 issue set, and because there's good reason for that, the idea that we're now going to be spraying the entire city and all of its inhabitants with something that we know is going to have immunological impairment seems to me to be so unwise that we just go to whatever forum we can possibly reach. And I heard what Mr. Honda said about the limitations of your powers, but on the other hand, we're just citizens here trying to make the best presentation we can and to supply you with the best information we can. Certainly Cheryl's thick binder, which you have, has a lot in it. And so the central idea that I'd like to get across, well, one other thing I want to say. We have all, every one of us, including me, been conned. And to find out what I mean by that, please do take a look at the March 29th, 1918, say again, 2018 edition of The Nation magazine. There's an article there, How Big Wireless Convinced Us That Cell Phones Are Safe, which articulates the work of Dr. George Carlo, who was originally retained by the Cellular Telephone Industry Association and then basically kicked off by them after he determined in the mid-90s that it was, in fact, carcinogenic. And that has been long since covered up. And that article, again, the March 29th, 2019, excuse me, I said 18, I think. Oh, it is 18. Edition of.
Those are just a few of the voices. I commend them. I commend any citizen activists who are concerned enough to go to a hearing, but you have to do more than a hearing because you do not know the hidden agendas of those people who are listening to you. They have to. It's mandated by their laws that they must listen to you. That then how often do they have hearings, including in Congress, where truth comes out and not a single thing is done in a positive way to ameliorate the problem? That's why you have to take that information and spread it. That is why on Monday I will be presenting the most comprehensive, in-depth investigative report on 5G. And this will be the sixth article that we've written, and it is a really strong one. And I'm quoting verbatim from people that we've interviewed around the world, the greatest experts, and share that with everyone you can. And including using it, because all of our information is vetted by lawyers and by scholarship so that you can trust the information and get it into the record. Send it to your legislators in Congress, to your city council members as well. In a moment, we're going to go to some more clips, including a philosophical one. And then in about 5 minutes, we'll go to our guest to talk about what you didn't know about Joe Biden. But I was given a call last night and told that people are having a hard time finding vitamin C anywhere. People are gouging on prices, you know, taking advantage of people's fear, but at the same time taking advantage of low supplies of things. And when I was hearing the prices and the problems, I thought, okay, well, we at least are going to offer something I believe will make a difference. Interesting, because for 2 years I created a product that I thought was one of the best products I've ever created called Immune Stuff. Nobody was interested. Turns out we weren't even selling one jar a week, so we discontinued it 2 months ago. So, boy, would it be nice to have now. But we don't have it now. I did get it reordered, but it'll take probably about 6 weeks to get it back in. I've come up with a new package today called Love Your Immune System. You're going to save $89 on it while it lasts. But we have put together what I believe are some of the best things that right now you should have in your body every day. And here's what is included in Love Your Immune System. And it's specific. First of all, we have garlic. And not just any garlic. I'm going to go through what we have. In our garlic, you have 500 milligrams of garlic, concentrate, aloe vera, ginger, onions, and cayenne. That's pretty good. All right? In and of itself, that's terrific. Especially when I want my immune system as strong as it can be because of all the places I am, all the people I'm exposed to, all the airline travel I do, and I'm as healthy as can be. No problems. The only problem I ever have is when I've been lecturing for hours and hours and hours and then counseling for hours and hours, my voice gets a little strained. But outside of that, my immune system is strong. That doesn't mean I'm not conscious and aware. I've gone into great detail. As my friends and family all day, they frequently get embarrassed when we go out to dinner because I take my own little seat. If there's I don't have it, I get napkins put on the chair, on the table. And now some of them are doing the same. I take my own silverware. I take my own little water filter and filter my own water. So they all thought this was just eccentric. Gee whiz. No, that was just practical. You have no idea what it's like when they're waking up in the morning. I'm just laughing my ass off at my brothers and my buddy, Jerry Krupman, because they're laying in bed, rushing in with diarrhea, sick and vomiting. And so that's all I had to deal with all morning. That wasn't pleasant. But I was just laughing at them because I said, ah, who said don't eat in this, you know, Dominican Republic restaurant, the number one restaurant, because I went in and checked the kitchen and there was no electricity that day. And all the refrigerators were open and the food was out. But you said, no, it'll be all right. Well, that was a lesson that was painful for them to learn. Simple things. Simple things. So garlic with aloe vera and ginger and onion and cayenne, yeah, it's the first product. But then supremacy, high potency, bioflavonoids, buffered mineral, ascorbate, cherry. And I decided to use the one that's chewable because I want people to take a handful of these in the morning, put it in a pocket or a purse or whatever you're carrying it in, and throughout the day, about every 2 hours, chew some of these. All right? You're getting selenium in there. You're getting the ascorbated magnesium, ascorbated potassium, ascorbated acerola cherry. This is a superstar. Okay? And you got it throughout the day. So supremacy chewables. That's the second thing in this package. Cruciferi, cruciferous vegetables. And this contains your apple fiber, cacao, spinach, apple pectin, beet juice, broccoli, kale, chocolate, parsley, turmeric, stevia, carrot, watercress, celery, cabbage, collard greens, and Brussels sprouts. Now, all those have something in common. They're rich in phytonutrients, and they're rich in indole-3 carbonyls like broccoli and rather than the green stuff. For right now, for loving your immune system, I want cruciferi in my body. If fact, that's what I'm traveling with right now. So that's the second, that's the third thing in here. Then I also want to stimulate and be good to my immune system by giving it red stuff. What's in red stuff? Well, if you didn't look, it's watermelons and cherries, strawberries and blueberries, raspberries and apples, grapes and bananas, pomegranates and papayas, prunes and acerola, goji berries and cranberries, acai and bilberries, grape seed extract. Yeah. You don't get more phytonutrients than that. And boy, you look under phytonutrients. Google phytonutrients and immune response. All right. And finally, heavenly aloe. This is the big one. This is the big bottle, the whole leaf aloe vera, natural cherry. And this has got the best form of aloe. That is the Barbadenus leaf. And it's grown down in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas, a certified organic farm, about 1,500 acres. It's cut by hand, goes right into a small factory where it is washed, and then it's crushed so that all the nutrients and the polysaccharides in the whole leaf are brought out. But the alanine, which can cause diarrhea, is taken out and thrown away. It is set in quarantine for a week, and then after it comes out pure, then the rabbi comes in and it's rabbinically supervised, and that's where we hand add the Siberian ginseng and the gota kola and the wild yam and the ginger and peppermint and all the other herbs that go into this. So if that's not enough to love your immune system at this time, for people who are fully aware, and I make no claims, you're smart, you'll understand, I'm throwing in Supercharge Your Immune System, the award-winning documentary, where I talk about every aspect of the immune system in here. And so A to Z, what you need is in here. So you're getting garlic, Supremacy Chewables, Cruciferi stuff, red stuff, Heavenly Aloe, and Supercharge Your Immune System. You're saving $89. Big savings. Others would turn around at this time and exploit it. We don't. We're not that way. And you're going to call this number. You're going to talk with one of two wonderful people, Diane and Sandy. The number to call, at least until supplies are gone, in which case then we have to wait a while. But you'll call 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. Because people are running around and they don't know what to do, and people are hoarding and buying. It's the wrong approach. You have to stand back and ask yourself important questions and be reasonable and say, what can I do to help keep myself healthy? And one of the things I do is I care about what goes into my body, making no claims, but I know what garlic and ascorbated vitamin C and cruciferi and red stuff and heavenly aloe, I know what they do, and many of you do as well. Now, like a lot of things right now, people, you know, we have ordered as much as I can reasonably order to, so we don't run out of stuff. But with this, within a week or two, we may run out, in which case we have to wait a while till it gets back in. But I've tried to make every effort, including today, of contacting our manufacturers and ordering extra vitamin C, all the vitamin C, all four different types of vitamin C, and so that we don't run out, because I see what's happening out there, and I see people... I see shortages everywhere, and I think it's going to get a lot worse until people calm down a bit. And in any case, give a call. We're there, 877-627-5065, and ask for your special today. Simply, I love my immune system. That's our special. We're going to take a break and come back with our guest. Please stay with us. Thank you. Nice to have you with us, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. We're going now to Toronto. We're standing by is Branko Marchetic. And I gave you his background and his bio earlier on in the program. And his articles, such as Yesterday's Man, you can read. And the website is jacobin.com. Nice to have you with us today.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me.
You've been writing extensively about the Democratic Party's shift to the right during the past several decades. And of course, we saw this with the Clinton-Gore administration, which heralded itself as the new Democrat. In my personal opinion, it was complete betrayal of FDR's covenant to the common person and the party becoming increasingly a friend of Wall Street and the large corporate interest. But during all of those years, Joe Biden was walking lockstep with the Democratic Party's turn towards the right. Now, being a legislator of Delaware, he has always held an allegiance to the credit card industry, notably the MSBN, which is one of the largest credit firms in America. And during our recent Democratic primary season, Biden seemed to be out for the count, and yet a party-wide effort, the media-wide effort, was initiated to resurrect him, which should confirm our suspicions that Biden is the party's perfect candidate to sustain the right-wing position, the neoliberal position. And it's been like a political pogrom to eliminate Saunders and the new generation of legislators who are devoted to social causes and to make efforts to draw the party back to its more liberal and humanistic values. So I'd like you to take your time and share the evidence that would convince us that Biden is the perfect candidate for the Democrat corporatocracy, for the military-industrial complex, for the banking complex, for big agri complex, for big energy complex, privatization education complex, and is the last person that we should consider to prevent, you know, interventions in around the world, and take it from there. The forum is yours.
Well, we only have to look at who is funding Biden's campaign. Of course, health insurance executives are well represented. He is leading among donations from billionaires. He's being propped up by the pharmaceutical industry. And a whole host of other big business interests. Do we really believe that all of these various industries are giving Biden money because they believe that he's going to do anything that will fundamentally change the way that the economic system works in the United States and that will run contrary to their profits? I mean, of course not. In fact, Biden himself told a group of donors, I believe last year, that under his presidency, quote, nothing will fundamentally change. So Biden is the candidate of the status quo, the exact status quo that has not worked for people for so long and led to Trump in the first place. It's ironic that Biden is running on the public option, for instance. That's his big healthcare plan this time. And everyone points to it and they say, well, you know, Joe Biden is probably running on the most progressive platform that any Democrat has run in at least for decades. And, you know, on the face of it, this is true. But what are the chances of him enacting that platform? What are the chances that he would actually fight for that platform? It isn't something that he's just slapped on his campaign website. I mean, the public option, for instance, was vehemently opposed by the very industries that are now funding Biden's campaign. When Obama was president and Biden was vice president, they launched a very well-funded, concerted campaign to smear the public option in the exact same sort of ways that sometimes using almost the exact same rhetoric that Biden is now using to attack the idea of Medicare for all. But even if we go beyond his funding, if we just look at Biden's entire career and his entire approach to politics, what he's done, how he strategizes to get things accomplished. I mean, Biden in 1978, that was his first re-election, learned a very important lesson that he carried over to the rest of his political career, which is that after running a economically populist campaign in 1972 and winning, by 1978, there was a conservative turn in the country, perhaps best epitomized by the taxpayer revolt of that year, where you see California and in several other states pass these anti-tax measures that basically just make it more difficult to raise taxes in the state. And at the time, there was a Wilmington newspaper that noted that 1978 may well end up may well be shaping up to be the year of the conservative. Biden looks at that and he lurches way to right, runs on a program of fiscal conservatism, calling for a massive tax cut, calling to eliminate federal programs every 4 years unless they are specifically reauthorized as a way to sort of keep spending down. And this continues into the 80s. When Reagan wins these two big landslide victories, that really sends a scare through the spines of people like Biden and Democrats of that generation. And Biden basically goes around the country and he lectures people that it's time for the Democrats to turn right. It's time for Democrats to stop thinking about all these various diverse constituencies that represent the party, African-Americans, Latinos, poor people, LGBTQ people, feminists, that kind of thing. Forget about all those people. Forget about organized labor. What has to take priority now is the conservative suburban voters that Reagan had built his victory on and that became the sort of Republican base. And Biden insists, when Reagan wins, he says, well, you know what? Reagan's victory actually lines up a little bit better with the budgetary thrust that a guy like me has been going in. Maybe I could actually get a lot of things done here. He votes for Reagan's 1981 tax cut for the rich, which ironically balloons the deficit for someone who is so concerned about the deficit and government spending and everything. Biden increases the deficit. He helps increase the deficit, and then he votes for Reagan's 1981 budget, which throws hundreds of thousands of people off government programs that they require to live and survive, cuts healthcare facilities for people. It leads to decline in public health in the United States that continues for decades after that. He calls for a spending freeze that will hit every program in the federal budget, including Medicare and Social Security. He calls for a spending freeze that is even more aggressive, in fact, than Reagan himself. And he, at the same time, as this is happening, as he's lecturing the party to move closer to his point of view, there's a corporate-funded effort among the Democratic Party to shift the party closer to the center, to make it more friendly to business interests, more friendly to the kind of politics that Reagan was espousing. A guy called Tony Queller becomes the chair of the DCCC, which is a sort of fundraising arm for House Democrats, and he opens fundraising up to big business, an interest that he says were kicked out before by the party in the 70s. He opens up, beyond that, there's the DLC is established, the Democratic Leadership Council, which Bill Clinton was a chair of and built on to become president. Biden tours with this group, mostly dominated by Southern white men, and this is when he does his lecture tour, telling the Democrats they have to abandon their core constituency and move to the right. In the 90s, as this conservative turn becomes even more pronounced and strong, as the right-wing Republicans gain more power in Congress, as the U.S. political system is increasingly infected by money and the influence of money, and Biden himself by this point is a prolific fundraiser, Biden spends all the 90s basically pushing Republican goals. This is the ugly truth of Biden's vaunted skills of getting things done in Washington, which is that in reality, he's not getting things done that are progressive, that are traditionally Democratic concerns, Democratic goals. He is getting things done that are right-wing Republican goals. And it's only because it's in the service of Republican goals that he can actually get Republican buy-in on these things. So you see him pass the 994 crime bill with the help of Republicans, because, of course, Republicans want tough on crime legislation. They want more punitive policies. They want to put more people in jails and have more people executed. He pushes for welfare reform, which was one of the central planks of Newt Gingrich's Contract for America. Literally the year before this, in 1995, Biden says to a group of Democrats, I was going to retire. I was going to call it a day. You know, I've been in the Senate for 23 years. And I figured this was time. But then these Gingrich Republicans came in, and, you know, they got me fired up, and I want to fight them. This Contract for America, it's terrible. It's only good for rich people, and I'm feeling energized. I'm going to wallop these guys. And a year later, he pushes welfare reform, one of the central planks of that Contract for America. At the same time, he votes 3 years in a row, 1995, 1996, 1997, for the balanced budget constitutional amendment, which would have made balancing the federal budget a constitutional mandate every single year. And if it was not able to be done, then it would have required either a tax raise, or which would have been very prohibitively difficult to get under this amendment, or massive cuts in federal spending, massive cuts to these programs. Would have warned by 1,000 economists in a letter they signed that this would imperil the country in a time of recession or depression, make it harder to deal with these things, make the recession deeper and more harsh for the people. Biden admits he knows that it's terrible legislation. He says that it's wrong. And again, it's also another plank of the Contract for America that enraged him in 1995. And yet he votes three times in a row on the amendment by one and sometimes two votes falls short of actually passing. We might think of now as the world careens into this crisis over the COVID-19 pandemic, what that would have meant for a response to public health crisis of this scale if Biden and the rest of Congress had succeeded in actually passing that legislation. This goes on into the 2000s. Biden's pushing of the bankruptcy bill at the behest of MBNA, his campaign contributor and the credit card company, to make it harder for middle-class families to get rid of their debts, to discharge their debts, to declare bankruptcy. Of course, passed under a Republican president. He couldn't pass it under a Democratic president. His work under Obama, negotiating with Mitch McConnell, in which he constantly was out-negotiated, steamrolled by Mitch McConnell, and gave Mitch McConnell and the Republicans everything they wanted. His inability to stand up to an increasingly bold and powerful right wing. His role in the Judiciary Committee, letting through hard right justices that reshaped the legal landscape of the United States, including Anthony Kennedy, who, far from the moderate that people talk about him now as, was a very right wing justice and helped to strike down numerous civil rights provisions and was a key vote in opening the floodgates to numerous abortion restrictions that states are dealing with now. All of this is Biden has been complicit in, either willfully in order to shore up his credentials as a conservative and show that he can be just as conservative as the next guy, or simply because he was unwilling to resist some of the directions that the country was going in, unwilling to stand up for his principles or whatever principles he said he claimed to have, and to sort of just go with whatever the prevailing political wind said that they would go to, regardless of whether it was good or bad or whatever. It was all about maintaining power. And we have to think about what someone like this, someone with a record like this, what that's going to mean for them if they are both running against someone like President Trump and potentially taking power in a time of rising white supremacy and a rising far right.
In depth, I'm concerned when someone knowingly supports the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act, allowing Wall Street to use any technique at once as a casino and not being prudent, supports NAFTA, supports the World Trade Organizations, supported Clinton's tough-on-crime policies, and some of the ones that you've named as well. So I see that Biden in the White House would be no different than Barack Obama in the White House, no different than Bill and Hillary Clinton in the White House. White collar crime, would be virtually invisible. There would be more draconian rules, and unfortunately, the American public would not have a rebuilt infrastructure. We would not be taking money away from the military-industrial complex and putting it into social programs. There would be the privatization of everything. And so that's what I'm seeing. But the interesting part is I believe Bernie Sanders would have been able to easily have beat, if he is the candidate or would have been the candidate, he would have beat Trump, hands down. I don't believe that Biden, in the end, would be able to beat Trump. I think it's going to be very close if he's the end of the candidate, because Sanders is a lot smarter, has a lot more progressive ideals. A lot of people, especially younger people, can, you know, resonate within their very powerful block. There's more now, slightly more millennials than there are baby boomers. So I believe that the corporate Democrat Party is willing to sacrifice an election to maintain power at all costs. Just my thoughts. But I thank you very much for coming on today and sharing your deep research into this, Branko. We appreciate it. Branko Marchik is my guest. I'm Gary Nolan. We're out of time, everyone. I want to thank you for listening and look forward to sharing more on our next program. Have a nice day, everyone.
Let me hear the worshipers!